exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's May.
Good evening. This is May Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 527, broadcast number 527 on KLRB, and this is January the 10th, 1982. I've been on the air. This is the 11th year here at this station. And for a long time, there were programs in weeks and months that I wondered if people were really understanding what I was trying to say each week to put the pieces together about the way our world would be in the future. For example, 10 years ago, what it would be like in 1981 or in the present time, 1982, and trying to explain the game players, the people involved in shaping our lives. I can honestly say that since the Reagan administration and now going into the second year, there are very few people that don't understand what I've been trying to say. I appreciate your letters, your telephone calls, and your continued listening, and we'll go on with that cast of characters. They are so outrageous. I will get back to more on solidarity. The AFL-CIO, which is the labor union in the United States that has been funded by the CIA and setting up the trouble over there in Poland. But there's so many outrageous stories in the news that I'm going to go to a few of the varied stories this week and then possibly next week get back to some more to solidarity and the way our labor unions have put fascism into Central South America and every country that they have touched where they've had the influence to overthrow the regimes and force slave labor of the people out there doing the hard work and setting up the turmoil in Poland. I thought I'd begin this evening by telling you a hit song that's going on in Germany. I got this from a newspaper. It's called the Dachau Song, a new hit in West Germany. The Dachau Song is a pop tune. It's about the experiences in the Holocaust, performed by a group called A&P over there. That's interesting because the grocery firm in the United States, the A&P in this country, is owned by a German corporation. What you buy at the A&P, their chains in the back in the East, we don't have them out here, is a German corporation. This music was published in Munich, Germany. There's several lines in the song, how nice it was in the concentration camps. Nothing happens in Dachau. Nothing happens in Buchenwald. Nothing in Belsen. The camps are empty. The torturers aren't there anymore, but the ovens are waiting quietly till someone will once again want to bake people. No gas is coming out of the showers to satisfy hatred. It's called the Dachau Song, and it's accompanied by swastikas that are desecrating cemeteries, churches, and buildings, and so forth. It is, as you know, a political song, but it's a hit in Germany, the Dachau Song. Along those lines, G. Gordon Liddy was on television this week with a movie of his book, Will. There's a section in that movie and in his book where he talks about a Nazi German housekeeper that influenced his home life, and he used to listen to Hitler's speeches with her. I guess he learned German when he was young in the home, and he lived up near Westchester, New York, and had a Nazi housekeeper, and he was inspired by the discipline of the Germans, the way they get things together, and their determination with long-range plans. He describes that they do have long-range plans, and I admire that about them, too. Reinhard Gehlen, who was chief of Hitler's intelligence, who formed our CIA, said he would wait 19 or 20 years for a plan to come together or fold together. 20 years goes very quickly. I've been working on the Kennedy assassination and investigation about 18 years, and it goes fast. And the intelligence agents set long-range plans and sit back and know they will come together because they've put that much effort into it. What they don't show in the story of G. Gordon Liddy and in his book are his links to the Nazi Party in 1972, not when he was a child with a German maid listening to Hitler. He was working with Robert Mardian of the Justice Department, watching Hitler's goose-stepping Nazis in 1972 at the archives. He was consumed with the German concentration camps and the German method of operation. He won't discuss Bibi Rebozo's links to South America, to IG Farb, and the connections of the Nazis to Richard Nixon in the White House that are described in the book Bormann, Nazi in Exile, that new book that is out. He doesn't describe his relationship in 1972 in the administration with Richard Nixon and Lynn Nofziger, with the American Nazi Party and the secret army organization that were all one, the Klan, the Nazi, the FBI, and the CIA in California, and John Mitchell, the Attorney General, with the Nazis. Nor does he discuss, you know, the role of Warner Lambert and Elmer Bobst and with Otto von Bolschwing, Hitler's agent from the SS, who became part of the OSS and the CIA, and the Nazi role in funding Richard Nixon or Nixon's office out in California as a cover for Nazi war criminal, a member of the Odessa, Nikolai Meloxa, and the administration that was riddled full of Nazis, was then, is now, and creating the problems in Europe getting ready for World War III at the present time. Nor, I'm sure, does he show on his television the role Gerry Ford brought in bringing G. Gordon Liddy to Washington, D.C., to the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, where Jerry Caulfield was in charge of assassination teams. They had planned to kill Eldridge Cleaver and Cesar Chavez, and the murderous teams were active when he was working with Caulfield in Treasury and Firearms. G. Gordon Liddy dramatizes his perseverance, which is great, but he's somewhat of a superstar and has successful books and is opening an agency in Chicago and an international agency for security. Frank Turpel is on television this week. By the time some of you get this broadcast in the East, the program will be over. I'll discuss it. I'll tape it and discuss it for you next week or in the weeks to come. For local people who are listening tonight, it's Monday night. Frank Turpel on KQED from 10 to 11:30. Turpel is one part of the conspiracy octopus. The octopus has eight legs. If we could hold Frank Turpel, George Corcola, Samuel Cummings, Robert Vesco, Richard Allen, William Casey, Theodore Shackley, and Edwin Wilson, and hang them up by their heels and torture them as they do with American equipment in Latin America and throughout the world and Middle East, and squeeze them dry, we would have the answer to who was responsible for over 900 deaths in Jonestown, who killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, John Paisley, Frank Nugent, and John Lennon. These men, as I say, are part of a large ball of wax that comes together very nicely in terms of the agencies, the fundings, and the associations. And one leg of that octopus is going to be interviewed, and that's Frank Turpel. An article out of the Associated Press this week, 3 of 4 Americans look for a new war. This is the Associated Press NBC News poll. 52-38 are in favor of the draft, and they accept the fact that we will be involved in a war in the next few years. It was obvious to me when I started studying the assassination of John Kennedy in 1963 and 1964 that if people did not find out who killed John Kennedy, we would be in World War III, because the motive of killing him was just part of a pattern of killing many political leaders in order to silence all those people in opposition to the plans, and those people have been removed by bullets or blackmail, and now we're moving towards that terrible day, and why in the world these mentally sick people want it, I just can't understand. There are two problems. One, those people that have this religious fervor for World War III, and the others, the people that sit back and let it happen. I don't know which is worse, but they balance off each other, because giving them that power to decide to make the war and then to be not able to do anything about it is a terrible tragedy. This is a NBC poll. 3 of 4 Americans look for a new war. An article out of Moscow claiming the CIA spies want a campaign of terror. They accuse the United States of espionage, sabotage, and terror against the Soviet Union. And they are sending agents into the Soviet Union for the purpose of seeking targets that are earmarked by the Pentagon for nuclear strike. This is an accusation over UPI. The TASS news agency said the CIA is engaged in espionage, sabotage, terror, slander, misinformation with the use of radio electronic equipment, chemistry, spy satellite chips and aircraft, and also cramming with special instruments, radio intelligence. They're accusing us of using chemistry among one of our weapons. We use it at home against our own citizens, the CIA and the Defense Department, not only testing but applying it to us at many, many levels. And one evening I'll do maybe one broadcast on medical experimentations and one on mind experimentations done solely by the federal government. And I don't mean the isolated cases you see in the news media, but constant barrage of experimentations going on. West German Chancellor Schmidt was in the United States this last week. He stayed at Sanibel Island. All of a sudden, that takes a new meaning because that's where Fred Fielding of the White House has his apartment, where Richard Allen, now retired from the National Security Agency, but on the payroll of the White House, has some vacant apartments and safe houses linked to Robert Vesco, organized crime, and the assassination teams. I'm sure that Sanibel Island has many places to stay, but I just noticed the name with regards to Richard Allen a few weeks ago when I talked about him on the program. Helmut Schmidt stayed there. He had an interview with James Rest of the New York Times, and this is the title of the article, West German Chancellor Fears Depression More Than War. Now, that's about where these idiots have their heads. They worry more about losing a buck or making a buck than they do at going to war. War, incidentally, is very profitable. A lot of people make money. They reduce the population. They sell a lot of newspapers. The weapons are profitable, sheer profit. The bandages, the medications, a lot of people make money off of war. There's a few idealistic young people that wonder what is war about, that haven't really studied the statistics of the horrors of Verdun, the World War I, World War II, and how the average person who is uneducated, is impoverished, joins the army, is drafted, is sent out to jungles, deserts, battlefields, mines blown up. But the very wealthy with a good education and a degree in law, medicine, engineering, accounting, he stays home and does the drafting paperwork, and the bloody war is fought somewhere else. You would think that after World War I and II that Germany would change its tune, but West German Chancellor fears a depression more than war, and that's what is going on in this country also. Another article out of the Washington Post and San Jose Mercury, Poland becomes the graveyard for the faltering policy of d'entente. D'entente means the end of peace. It was over when Khrushchev wanted to meet with Eisenhower, and the CIA sabotaged that by downing an airplane, the U-2, so that we couldn't have d'entente. D'entente was never meant to exist. The atomic bomb was dropped in Hiroshima purposely to tell the Russians we had the atomic bomb. And if you look at the documents and the State Department papers and books and propaganda of how the CIA was formed, the National Security Agency, bringing over Nazis like Henry Kissinger and Mr. Brzezinski and Fritz Kramer and Germans and Poles from Europe to the United States to make our policy, d'entente means peace. Peace was never meant to be. And until we get these people out of our hair and out of our lives, there's no way to have peace. Poland is the graveyard. This was the place to plan it. This is why the Polish Pope was brought in. He was the protege of Montini, Pope Paul VI. He was trained in Rome. He worked at Auschwitz during World War II. That's why it was so important to study the Polish Pope. He worked for IG Farben, Solvay Chemical, that was making the gas for exterminations. I've done many broadcasts on this program on IG Farben, the Polish Pope. That was why it was so important to study that era and to study history, and I've done chronologies of history, because Poland would be the place where we would stir up again, and when the CIA began funding the church and solidarity to egg the Russians on to get a response, so we'd be an excuse to end the trade and the arms deals. D'entente was dead. It was dead in 1919 at the time of the Versailles Treaty. It was dead in 1943 when the Nazis went underground to get ready for World War III. And Poland is indeed the graveyard. An interesting article by Coleman McCarthy, a syndicated columnist in Washington. Why support the cowards who hide behind repression? Now, he asked the question of the labor union. I hate hypocrisy of solidarity and Ronald Reagan, who puts down our air control labor organizers and breaks that union and also has goon squads breaking in other unions in this country. The hypocrisy of worrying about Poland when we support repression around the world is so outrageous, it just shrieks from the hypocrisy of the double standard. And Colin McCarthy begins his article, "Some Hypothetical Questions on Human Rights. What if Lech Walesa of Poland were Lech Walesa of Guatemala, a union leader risking his life to free Guatemalan workers from government death squads? Would the Reagan administration be hailing him from Guatemala as a champion of freedom? What if he were Walesa of the Philippines, put in jail since 1972 when martial law made union organizers defenseless against their government and they were locked up? Would he be the great Lech Walesa of Fernando Marcos regime, Ferdinand Marcos? What if Walesa lived in El Salvador, where there were the murders of American labor leader organizers that are unsolved? Or Chile, where there's no labor union at all? Recently, this January, there's a new repression in Chile of concentration camps and torture I'll go into later. Or what if he were organizing in Brazil? And this author didn't say, Colin McCarthy, that this week Brazil said they're going to start doing away with human rights. Or Turkey, where all the leftists are being locked in jail and our Vice President George Bush was praising Turkey. Would he call for the rights of workers in high places in Washington? These are not questions that strain for answers. The spirit of terror and violence, which General Jarolski of Poland locks up in Lech Walesa, is shared by General Romeo Garcia of Guatemala and Marcos of the Philippines and the governments around the world. This article goes into the hypocrisy. George Bush went to see Marcos in the Philippines last year and said, "We love your adherence to democratic principles and to democratic processes." This is a corrupt gangster tyrant, the author says, who Bush toasted, and he also did the same thing in Turkey. It's the same thing Jimmy Carter did to the Shah of Iran with the Savak and the torture team and the racks, where when the Shah was overthrown, arms and legs were around the buildings where they tortured, and people were actually cut apart. Or down in Chile, where Michael Townley, the CIA, quartered people and shipped them down the river. I don't know if they were cut up alive or afterwards and sent down the river. Our leaders praise these dictatorships to the end. The labor leaders are locked up in places like Chile, Brazil, Turkey, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. And this article says, what is going on? How come no General Vernon Walters, the former CIA official, is talking about this? Why doesn't he talk about Guatemala? The Reagan administration, when you ask them about repression, says we want quiet diplomacy. We don't interfere with other people's affairs, such as South Africa tortures, etc. And this article says, what about the quiet diplomacy? It doesn't apply in Poland. Well, the point is that Poland was selected for our World War III, and that's why we make a big thing about solidarity. There's a cartoon, Salvadorian Solidarity, and the U.S. Advisory Corps there. The United States is training at Fort Benning and in Georgia, North Carolina, some more 1,600 people from El Salvador to go back down there and do bloodbaths and to murder all labor leaders. The hypocrisy of locking up all labor in South America, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, or in Turkey, or in the Philippines, and what is the middle class or the labor union in Saudi Arabia or the Arab countries of Kuwait? Can you imagine what that is? I read today that 20,000 Saudi Arabians are being trained in United States universities. They don't want universities or schools or middle class in their own countries because they have ruling families and slaves. So where is solidarity in all these countries? And what a hypocritical group that are running this country. And the silence, as I say, is as bad as those people doing the actions. It's terrible how many people are silent. But this is a good article by Colin McCarthy. Another article this week from the UPI finally came out. A friend of mine heard this on shortwave from Moscow and told me about it, but finally it's in print. Solidarity hit list reportedly earmarks communists for death. Now, what happened was that the Soviet Union went into offices of Solidarity that I mentioned. Last week, there were over 400 offices and took lists of people that were trying to overthrow the country. But what they had was a list of members of whole families. The list was to put to death individually or whole families a long list of communists or Russians. And the reason they produced this list this week was that they asked the workers to sign a loyalty oath or a pledge of allegiance to the regime in power, and the priest, the Catholic Church, Archbishop Glemp, told them in church that if they signed an oath and lied, that they were relieved of any responsibility. By orders of the church, they could lie. And the reason they were asked to sign this was that there are lists of thousands of people that the Solidarity were going to murder. I mentioned last week that Reagan can't move because of certain blackmail, not only names of Polish people that were in the Iranian embassy that were put together with the shredder by putting pieces of the papers together that had been shredded in the United States embassy in Iran about Polish agents, but also the Solidarity had the names in Poland of people who were to kill the Russians and the communists. So I mentioned last week why Reagan can't move, and there were articles, Reagan's Paralysis on Poland by Evans and Novak in the Washington Post, Activists Feel Paralyzed, New Suspicions in Poland, another Washington Post article and a New York Times article saying President will meet with Brezhnev. I feel that he will be forced to do that shortly because the Soviet Union and other countries around the world are publishing information about what the CIA is doing and what they intended to do. Arthur Burke, a planner and negotiator of corporate mergers, had an article in the Los Angeles Times this week, Decaying with the Dinosaurs, the United States Economy is Decaying. And it's going into the merger case, which I guess you've been reading in the newspapers about the telephone companies and IBM and the oil companies and the steel companies. And this article says that giant mergers are going to stifle this country into stagnation, that they are acquiring each other and they're wiping out the best of young businesses. The companies are being destroyed or weakened. And where you had an industrial future of America, where young people were beginning to set up small companies, they come in and buy those companies and merge, and the bigger companies become a giant, and they're more vulnerable to decay. And this article says that the economy can't control these kinds of mergers because not only do they control more of what you buy and the prices that you have to pay for it, but they do it to silence the smaller people that would oppose their methods who have better and more efficient methods, so that we get squeezed at every end by allowing them all to merge, small companies sell out and become part of a larger group, and we don't benefit. The brighter minds are wiped out. I want to mention, I think most of you must have read it in the newspaper, but I'll call attention to it because it's not very nice. Thieves stole the tombstone and the cross from the grave of Robert Kennedy. This may or may not mean anything to you, but this is what happened in Nazi Germany with the desecration of the grave. They went over a 6-foot fence and took the tombstone and the cross marking the grave of Robert Kennedy. No suspects, but did they climb the fence or were they inside to begin with? The point is that the grave is gone, and it's just symbolic of another era. John Kennedy's grave wasn't affected, but Robert Kennedy was the one going after organized crime and hitting crime figures more than his brother. And it's a sickness and a sadness, and if it continues, there's nothing still we can do about it. We've become neutralized because those people who denied themselves the privilege of screaming out about the kind of candidates you want, whether it's the League of Women Voters or letters to the editors or politicians coming through or to Congress, we've sat back and watched public figures, labor leaders be murdered, newspaper people, and the brightest minds are gone. And now we're left without leaders or without a voice, and it doesn't matter whether they take Robert Kennedy's grave or 20 other markers with it. There is no organization or group that has the muscle to even speak up and say, we've had enough. Until they get back to the Reinhardt, Galen, G. Gordon, Liddy, Frank Turple connections, those monsters that I mentioned, until you get to the roots of these people, none of these problems can be solved because they all work together. There's a trial going on in Atlanta, Georgia, of Wayne Williams, charged with killing two victims there. There were more than 28 young blacks that were killed, and this trial is going on now. The first prosecution information was presented this week in the Los Angeles Times covered the bodies probably came off the bridge where the suspect in Atlanta was found. Probably is about it, and it'll be interesting to see how the trial goes. I got a letter from a woman up in the Santa Cruz area regarding the Atlanta case. I transferred the information that she gave to me to the proper authorities that I mentioned to her on the telephone. I don't want to be too specific on the air, but I did forward them, and I want you to know I took care of it. This particular party is working hard to find out who killed those children. She believes that she has information on the case. She went to Atlanta. She went up to North Carolina, where they locked her up for 17 days, put her in confinement, ignored her testimony, and she's desperate to get the truth out. And so I passed on what I could, and we'll see what comes of it, and I'll update it for you. The record of unemployment this week, 8.9 for adult men, 17% for blacks, and it's even higher. That's just for those that go out for jobs. There's many that don't even try. But on the same page with the story on unemployment, there's a warning from Ronald Reagan, sign up or else, youth of draft age warned. That's the way it reads. The San Francisco Examiner, sign up or else. The Reagan administration will have draft registration of 800,000 young men failed to register, but they get a temporary amnesty, and then there'll be a fine, 5 years in prison and $10,000 fine. There's unemployment, but one solution to unemployment is the war. So sign on up and solve the unemployment problem. Now, Mr. Brzezinski, I can't stand the guy. Never could. That's why I couldn't stand Jimmy Carter putting Brzezinski in the power that he had. Brzezinski has his usual television appearances, press. He gets good press. Former national security advisor. Big story in the Los Angeles Times. Brzezinski, punish the Soviets some more. Another one, Brzezinski calls for tougher sanctions. He suggests the voiding of the Yalta Pact. Can you imagine that man coming over here from Europe, egging us on to World War III ever since he's been at Columbia University, pumping out people with anti-Soviet feelings. Never a gesture to get along, never a gesture to understand what is going on in the minds of the Soviets under the Tsar or afterwards, pushing us to the level of let's reject the World War II Yalta Agreement that carved Europe into Eastern and Western spheres of influence. I don't think Yalta is going to be negated. I don't think the Yalta Pact is going to be rejected. I think the Soviet Union has a little more interest in this affair. And I don't know what gives Brzezinski and Kissinger the right. Maybe he should say, go back to Poland and say those things and live in Poland. If there were a war, he'd still be here running around in his limousine and Air Force One airplanes or whatever he uses and making a pile of money and a media freak being photographed, lecturing and speaking. Why don't we send Kissinger and Brzezinski back to Germany and Poland and put them where the neutron bombs are going to drop on their heads? I'm so tired of looking at them. One of the problems with today's headlines is that these men are war criminals. They should have been hung up on the heels like Mussolini or forced to disappear like some of the Nazis even went underground. But what gives them the right, with no structure of society, of what America is about, to turn 77 countries into military dictatorships, to leave the countries they touched in ruins and shambles, and then advise us on the next step? Look what he did in Iran, in the Middle East, as National Security Advisor under Jimmy Carter, and he's the authority on Europe. Why don't they stay in Europe or go to Europe? Who needs them in America? Before the wars, we didn't have these kind of, before World War II, we didn't have these kind of people running our Congress, running our congressmen, advising them what Americans needed. We need help in this country to structure our housing, our health, our employment, to get families together, to get on with living, to get some energy that isn't poisonous, get poisons out of our system. Who needs Kissinger, Brzezinski? And he wants tougher sanctions. He wants to go after the Soviet Union. Dump him over there. Get rid of the guy. He's a menace. Get rid of them both, and then let them be grounded in those countries if they love war so much, instead of sending our young people over there to die and then leaving the parents and the grandparents with the debt of $1 trillion for their wars. They're making the profit over it. They don't lose anything over it, and they just mouth it day after day, that hatred. We'll take a one-minute break and then get on with some more of this terrible news this week.
World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.